What is going on, Supers? Welcome back to another episode of Opposition Views. This is an Anzac Day episode, and I've got one of the biggest Essendon supporters I know, Todd from the Flight Plan on. How are you going, mate?
I'm doing great, mate. How are you? You've got to be pumped for this weekend, or this Tuesday, I should say. It's absolutely awesome. Can't wait. I reckon it's probably the biggest Anzac Day match we've had in maybe 20 years. Can't
Yeah,
wait.
yeah. It's both teams in the top four, I think, since the first time since 2000 or something crazy like that. Yeah, biggest this century, that's for sure. Sounds cool that you can say this century, but yeah, biggest in at least two decades, mate. I can't wait. I'm pumped. So how are you feeling going into this game? Second on the ladder, playing some really good football, 4-1. How's the feel?
Yeah, really confident, really excited about the game coming ahead. I think this is our biggest test, though. I thought Melbourne were a little bit under strength. In my opinion, Collingwood's probably the strongest team in the competition, so we're putting ourselves to the test against the best team in the comp, and arguably the best player right now, Nick Daicos. I mean, what's your thoughts on Nick? Like, you've got to be excited about what he's produced so far and, you know, what's to come.
Yeah, he is, look, undoubtedly a star, you know, straight away, and another huge performance by him, 42 disposals, you know, just going about it. He's that sort of quarterback. He sets us up for all our sort of plays, and we love him. We love him for it. I dare say that, you know, he's probably a shoe-in for the Anzac Day medal. I dare say Essendon are going to nullify his influence. I don't think he's going to have a big game on Anzac Day, not because he won't try and stand up, but I think the competition have learned to sort of put a tag on him, and I think Essendon are going to do that.
Well, I honestly cannot fathom why any team in the competition wouldn't do that. I thought it would come against Ross Lyon and the Saints, and I'm sure you would have thought the same thing, that they'd try to nullify him, and they haven't done that. And to be honest, it's really going to be a big test for Nick to see if he's up to that. But, you know, he got 42 possessions last week, and I'm sure you're pulling your hair out over people saying it's soft possessions, but he's arguably the best kick in the game already. He's, what is he, like 30 games into his into his tenure. He's an unbelievable player and legitimate Brownlow favourite for mine. And Essendon should do everything they can to nullify Nick's influence, because he's a guy that can tear the game apart. But I think you're right. Like, Essendon will put attention to him, and if we can nullify him, it'll go a long way to, you know, securing what will hopefully be a big Anzac Day win for us.
No, definitely, man. Look, you guys are sitting second on the ladder, which, you know, and we're obviously sitting in third. How did you feel, you know, Brad Scott at the helm? He left his AFL role, his big AFL role for Essendon. How did you feel going into this season? What were your expectations, and has the goalposts changed a little bit now?
They only have by virtue of us winning. I don't think that any Essendon fan would have gone into this season expecting a big, or expecting to be where we're at right now. And, you know, maybe it's by virtue of the fact we played some poorer teams outside of Melbourne, but, you know, you can only beat who's in front of you. And
exactly.
I was really optimistic about what Brad Scott would bring to the table when he came in. He was a great coach at North Melbourne. I think people forget that. He took a North Melbourne 10 that was pretty ordinary, in my opinion. Had some good players, but not great across the board, to two preliminary finals. I was always optimistic he'd bring a great steel to the Essendon team, and some discipline was what we needed. And, you know, whether this form's sustainable or not, it's really going to remain to be seen. But, yeah, any Essendon fan that thought that we'd be at 4-1 after five rounds would be kidding themselves, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's look, it's been good to watch. And I was saying it's on one of my videos the other day. It's good for the AFL, and especially for Victoria, when Collingwood, Essendon and Carlton are all up and about, you know, top four. We're the three biggest teams, and I guess you can try to chuck in Richmond in there as well. But three out of four of us in the top four, which is absolutely huge. And yeah, this Anzac Day game is just going to be big for a lot of reasons, mainly because one of us, and possibly St Kilda, are going to finish the round first. And, you know, if you had, even for us, if you had told me we would finish round six first, I would have said, you know, a little bit of you're kidding. And I guess the same for Essendon. But Collingwood's injuries, how do you feel? Do you feel more confident now that, look, you want to verse the team with the best 23 out, but do you feel a bit more confident in your team and your ability, especially around that ruck role now with Draper and Phillips?
Yes, spot on. That's a really emphasis of strength that we'll have going into Anzac Day. And it's unfortunate that you guys don't have Darcy Cameron and even Dan McStay to give that chop-out role. I'm assuming Ash Johnson's going to play a pretty significant ruck role. And I know you make the joke all the time about his 2K time trials and his seemingly inability to cover the ground. But he's an absolutely gifted footballer, so I'm sure he's going to make – he's a – yeah – But I think the biggest point of difference is going to be the defensive column. I really, really rate Nathan Murphy very, very highly. And that's really unfortunate what happened there. And there's no excuse from the St. Kilda bloke. He got what he deserved. I thought probably got off a little bit lightly. But
yeah,
Jeremy Howe had a huge game last year in the Anzac Day. He probably, if Ginnivan didn't play, probably wins that Anzac Day medal. So they're two huge outs for Collingwood, and while we don't have Peter Wright, we've got Jack Stringer, who I think is going to be the main focal point up forward, and I think he's ready to have a huge game. And I'm not sure what your opinion is on who goes to him. It's probably Maynard, but I'd really love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there. It needs to be someone that is harder at the ball. I would have loved to have put Murphy on him to sort of, you know, with Murphy's intercept, with Murphy's courage, but I think it will be a Maynard character. Obviously, Darcy Moore, Billy Frampton aren't going to play on him, so we don't really have anyone else in that sort of caliber besides Maynard, and it's just going to be a really good contest. Like when Maynard goes up against, like, you know, the likes of Liam Ryan or Toby Green, Jack Stringer is after his slow start to the season and the preseason, really coming into his own, and he's commanding that Essendon forward line. What are your thoughts on your, besides Stringer, how do you think your forwards are going to go against, you know, the likes of Darcy Cameron, Nick Dacos when he's back there? You got Braden Maynard, Billy Frampton. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think Sam Wiedemann comes in, and I think Darcy Moore potentially plays on him. And I don't think Darcy Moore's going to pay too much heed to what he does. I think he's probably going to be the second defender that comes over and tries to cover Jake Stringer in the air. It's unfortunate we don't have Peter Wright because he's the obvious matchup, and that'd be a great contest. I mean, a couple of Anzac days ago, Peter Wright really stamped himself as an excellent player. I think he kicked three or four in a win. But yeah, Billy Frampton, I think he probably play a fair bit of ruck time too, I think. I know you've got to be absolutely ecstatic with his transition from Adelaide over to Collingwood. I mean, there weren't high expectations. I know personally you probably thought he'd fill a role and come in and go really well, but he's probably exceeded your expectations, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so he'll probably touch in the ruck. I know we'll bring in Nathan Kruger as well to play mainly a ruck role, and then someone keep you know, Johnson and Frampton will probably chop him out a bit. But Frampton has just been incredible. You know, everyone thought he was going to be the sort of whipping boy, and I kind of backed him because we don't have that tall, big body defender, and I couldn't give two stuffs that he was at, you know, that's his third club or whatever it may be. And there's Hank getting his appearance in. So cute. I not rated him because I didn't watch the sample or any of his games, but I thought that he would be able to fill a role for us, and he's just done it tenfold. And I'm really, really, really enjoying what he can do. Look, in regards to the game itself, how do you see it playing out?
Oh, it's going to be really interesting. So I think Ben Hobbs comes in for Zach Merritt, and I think he's potentially a guy that runs with Nick Dacos. I really don't know how that's going to unfold, but the midfield battle is going to be the pivotal one for me. I mean, Dylan Shields in arguably, I don't know if he's in career best form, but definitely the best form he's been in since he's come to Essendon. Parrish has been terrific. He's been really underrated. So I think the midfield battle is where it's going to be won and lost. If Sam Draper and Phillips can put in a performance again like they did against Melbourne, we'll be pretty hard to beat. But now, what's your opinion? I know a lot of Collingwood fans weren't too worried when Taylor Adams went out. Do you think he's a big missing piece for that Collingwood team, or do you think you've got enough guys to sort of cover him and that midfield battle is where it's going to be won and lost?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a weird one, and I was talking about it in my preview as well. Look, Taylor Adams, we love what he can do. Clearance king, you know, he's good for a goal a game or thereabouts. He can pop up, you know, all his tackling pressure. It helps that I think I would have been a little bit more upset if we didn't have Tom Mitchell in the middle. So it helps that we have Tom Mitchell to kind of cover those clearances, and we bring in Jordan Dugowie as well. So it's that's a bit of a bonus. And I think we bring in Finn McRae to kind of, you know, he's just been playing outstanding in the VFL, needs some AFL game time. And this is the perfect time to make, like, kind of like what Peter Wright did a couple of years ago, just kind of stamp your name on the competition. But your midfield, without Zach Merritt, I know what he did against Melbourne, he absolutely smashed it. But you've got guys like, you know, like Setterfield also played really well against Melbourne. Phillips, you know, you're obviously ruckman, but Parrish played really well. And Dylan Shield, like you said, he's just been phenomenal for you guys this season.
Yeah, and he's getting forward and kicking goals, which is important. So like you mentioned with Taylor Adams, you know, sometimes both guys, XGWS guys, maligned for their kicking, but if they can get forward and kick goals, that's where it's important, where their influence is really important. And I think Dylan Shields really exemplified that this year. It's going to be really interesting how that midfield battle plays out, and maybe it's centre field that goes to Nick Dacos. I don't know. It's going to be really, really, really interesting to see. But the couple of guys I'm really worried about for you guys is Jamie Elliott again. I mean, his form hasn't been at the peak of it as it was last year, but he's a guy that just seems like he loves playing against us and always exposes us. And, you know, Jagoe, like you mentioned, it's going to be – I'm really fascinated with how he's going to return after that bout of illness, if he's ready to go. But I know Fly said in their post-match press conference that I fit Jordan Jagoe is going to be ready to go on Anzac Day. I think he's going to be the pivotal player for you guys. If he fires, he's going to win at Anzac Day Medal, win you guys that match. And that's just how good I think he is going into this season and the influence he can have.
Well, 100%. We haven't seen – probably besides maybe the Geelong game, and Collingwood supporters will probably correct me if I'm wrong, since that Geelong game in round one, we haven't seen him to his full sort of potential. And he's playing well, don't get me wrong. He's been going at 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. But after not playing St Kilda, yeah, I think this is a game where he can really like come out and absolutely fire for us. But I want to get your thoughts on our forward line. Now, we haven't got Dan McStay, like you mentioned. Brody Marchek, absolute warrior. But now we've got Bobby Hill and Jack Ginnivan. Obviously, Jack Ginnivan gave you guys trouble on Anzac Day. What are you guys going to do about those guys?
Yeah, that's going to be really fascinating. It's going to be tough. And if Jamie Elliott fires, like I mentioned, it's going to be even harder. But you know, you'd have to be absolutely stoked with the Bobby Hill acquisition. I mean, we tried to get him the year before, and it didn't pan out, and he's just come into that Collingwood team and added an extra dimension. And he was keeping Ginnivan out, I'd assume. And then Ginnivan came in and played. I thought he played a really good game against St Kilda and added a little bit of an extra dimension to his game. He was setting up passes. His foot skills were elite. So, you know, it's going to be a more of a smaller forward line. And, you know, I think we've got versatile enough players to get around that and like combat that. But it's going to be tough because they're all dynamic forwards that can, you know, mark the ball in the lead, kick straight. And then also when the ball hits the deck, like Jamie Elliott, of course, and Ginnivan can do it on the deck. And Bobby Hill is obviously an absolute speedster. He knows where the goals are. So it's going to be a really tough matchup for a lot of our players. They're going to have to be really disciplined in playing to their men.
I think as well, in saying all of that, I think despite our lack of players, and I know you guys have got a couple guys out as well, I think besides maybe the ruck situation, I think we're pretty evenly matched throughout the whole, like on paper anyway. Like obviously Draper and Phillips, you know, you're going the 1-2 ruck against no ruck seemingly. But I think everywhere else, it's going to be a really, really interesting game and something that, you know, and all of our games, like when has an Anzac Day not been good? Like it's continuously good. Let me ask you this now, and I think I know the answer. What has been your favorite Anzac Day win?
Oh, the obvious answer comes with Zaharakis. That was probably one of my favorite ones. But but I think James Hurd had a great game. I think it was 2006. He won the Anzac Day medal, kicked 3 goals, and I think I think Cupido played really well that game too. I think that's probably my favourite outside of that Zaharakis one.
Yeah.
If I had to guess yours, I reckon it'd be that the one where you won, I think you won by a point, 2012 maybe.
Was it the, I think that might have been the Jared Blair one. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah,
that's definitely my one. That one was nuts. Kind of like the feeling of Zaharakis kicking that goal, you know, in the middle of a downpour at the MCG. That Jared Blair one. And then because it went to VAR or whatever they want to call it, and did it come off his shin? Did it come off his knee? That was absolutely epic. And that just goes with it. Anzac Day always comes up with really good games. And like Craig McRae and Scott Pendlebury said today, it doesn't matter where these teams are on the ladder. One could be first, one could be last. It is just an incredible day. And also for an incredible occasion, you know, the troops and stuff, and we still got troops over there and honoring them all. And it's it has turned into a blockbuster of a game, but it's so beautiful as well. The lead up, the last post, the poppies everywhere, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful occasion.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I really commend anyone who's, even if you're not a Collingwood or an Essendon fan, to try and get along to an Anzac Day if you can, just to take in the experience. So it's just magnificent what these two clubs have come together to do. They pay fantastic tribute, and it's genuinely a privilege to be there every year. I try not to miss it. I don't think I've missed one outside of COVID for maybe 20 years. And you know, every single time when it, you know, like Essendon and Collingwood fans always, they always get a bit of strife from other clubs about their, you know, they're loud and raucous. But the second that it's that time for that moment of silence, you don't, you can hear like literally something across the entire end of the MCG. It's spine tingling, and you know, it's genuinely my favourite day on the footy calendar. And you know, you can't overstate how privileged we are to be there, and just it's I'm kind of lost for words. How great the occasion is, and you know, like we're just privileged to be there.
Yeah, and you're right. If you can get there, you gotta get there if you can, even if you're a neutral. Let's move on from Anzac Day a little bit. Let's hear more about your podcast, The Flight Plan. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, cool. So we started it this year. Myself and Jasper Chalper. We just do a weekly Essendon podcast. Kind of keep it short and sweet. Kind of fill the void. There's a couple of other podcasts out there that do the really analytical stuff. So that's one called Don the Stat. There's another one called The Lunchtime Catch-Up, which is more like a fan-based sort of stuff. So we try and bridge the gap between those, have some fun, have some personal opinion in there. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun this year with the 4-1 start. So, you know, hopefully the good times can keep rolling. We've gone pretty well. But, you know, we're still hot on the heels of you, who's, like, absolutely owning this space, in my opinion. And really curious to know how it's been going this year, because, you know, I think you've, like, really gone from strength to strength. You should be really proud of the work that's gone into it. You've got some great interviews, like Taylor Adams. That was a huge coup when you got that. And, you know, you broke some great stories about the board and everything. Like, how's it feel to, like, sort of, like, not to be disingenuous, but you genuinely do own this space as the fan sort of podcast. Like, how's it feel, mate?
Well, thank you for the comment. I wasn't expecting any of that. I like to be, you know, with you see on my tweets and Instagram stuff, and I like to be really, truly honest with everyone. And as much as, like, I love what I do, and I love, you know, talking to you guys and all my fans, all Collingwood fans and stuff like that, it sometimes does feel surreal. You gotta pinch yourself, like getting Tom Mitchell, you know, talking to the social media guys at the club and have this rapport and stuff like that. But then, you know, at certain times it almost does feel like imposter syndrome. Sometimes I sort of get that. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, do I deserve to do what I'm doing? Have I done enough? Or it's like, oh, sometimes I feel like, oh, if the club does this for me, not that the club's done anything sort of for me, but if, like, they do this, are people going to think this? So it is a fine line to tread, especially with, you know, sort of like the mental health sort of battles that I've gone through whilst, you know, running this social media thing. But so it does feel like that, but it also, I have guys like you, you know, you're backing me up, and Blue Abroad as well, Pommy and all these other guys. And it's a very good, the AFL fan creators, they're all amazing. And yeah, I love what I do. And I love every single one of the people that support me, the likes and stuff from the beginning. But thank you for the super kind words. I do appreciate it, Todd. It is a bit of that sort of fine line that I tread a little bit mentally as well, you know?
Yeah, and I think you do a great job too. You've got that ability too, where you can, like, have a bit of banter with the other clubs too, and you never like really toe the line of going too far, or, you know, people probably get offended, but they're doing it a little bit disingenuously, like having a shot at Swoop Luke, and it's genuinely because you are going so well in this space and killing it, and people just get jealous of that stuff. But, you know, the fan podcast, like you said, everyone that you mentioned, they're all great, and it's great to see people so passionate about the game, and they get access to their clubs. And like you said, getting Tom Mitchell, that's amazing, and, like, you should be so proud of the work. And it's also great to see Collingwood, like, being so open to say, you know, there's fan podcasts out there, let's, like, give them some time and give them some space. And, you know, and you've, like, really thrived in that area. And yeah, like, I'm genuinely stoked to be on this podcast with you now, and great to see you doing so well.
No, thank you. And I do appreciate it. And I love these chats. And we did one last year, and we'll just, we'll keep doing it. I can't wait till all 18 clubs are in this sort of position, and you guys are doing right. I've heard a couple of episodes and stuff. You know, and it's just fantastic. And if everyone chases their passion and their dreams, the world's a much better place. And I know you're sort of big in that space of positivity, and you know, try not to let anyone get you down. And sometimes they do, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to bite back, and that's fine. I do it too, but it's fine. And yeah, look, if the world can be a little bit more positive, it's going to be a much better place, especially on the internet, which is a pretty bad place at times.
That's exactly right. It's like being a bit positive. You know, sometimes you may feel, or other people may feel, we cross the line when we're having a bit of fun with other clubs, you know, but like there's never any malicious intent in that. And yeah, like you say, it's just be positive, chasing your dreams when it comes to the footy clubs. And it's awesome that, you know, like the social media guys at Essendon have been open to having some people from the club come on with us. And, you know, obviously Collingwood with you guys, it's like, yeah, it's just so good to see fans being open and be able to show their passion for their club, and you know, have the club, you know, give that in return, because it hasn't been the case for the last 10 years. But clubs are getting open; they're starting to understand that the fans sort of drive this new wave of social media and fan engagement, and it's great to see. And yeah, this is the last time I'll say it, but it's absolutely right. It's like you are one of the driving forces behind it, and you know, like you kind of do pave the way here. And like Jasper and myself, like I'll debt a gratitude to you, because like you're getting like Taylor Adams, you're getting Todd Mitchell on, and like that opens doors for other clubs to say, oh, Swoop does it so well here, why can't Todd and Jasper do it? Why can't Lord Ward do it? It's exactly right.
Thank you. No, I appreciate Todd. I appreciate you coming on. Look, before we go, Anzac Day medalist, how much you reckon that Essendon are going to win by? Because I know you're going to tip Essendon, and where we can find what you guys are doing.
Okay, so I think Essendon by 14 points, Darcy Parrish for the medal.
Yep.
And before I give any of that stuff, I want to hear what your one is, and I want to hear who you got for the Anzac Day medal.
I've got Collingwood by 4 points, and I've got the Anzac Day medal going to Darcy Moore. I don't think I think Nick Dacos is going to get his influence nullified a lot, especially with everything in the media. But I've got, if a Collingwood player wins it, I think it's going to be Darcy Moore.
Yeah, good call. I totally agree. All right, so you can find my podcast at Flight Plan Pod on Twitter. Find me at Todd J. Davey on Twitter. And if you're a Collingwood fan, Essendon fan, please reach out and just chat footy. I love chatting footy no matter what it is. Like, always open to opinions. Same as you. You just love chatting footy. Love talking about the club. And yeah, hit us up. We'll be talking about Anzac Day right up until the Tuesday. And if you see me there, come up and say good day. I'd love to have a chat about the Bombers. And hopefully we get up. And if not, I hope it's a great game, and like you enjoy yourself and all the fans enjoy it, because it's, yeah, like I said, it's one of the great spectacles on the AFL calendar.
No, it is. Todd, thank you so much for coming on. All the links will be down below. Again, thank you so much. The kind words. I love you. And we'll definitely catch up. Hopefully at the game, we'll get a beer, but we'll definitely catch up after it, mate.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds good, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate.